Welcome to Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. Today, Pastor Oscar Clavel delivers the message entitled, Give Me Faith.
Our first scripture reading this morning comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. Let us listen to God's word. So we do not lose heart, even though our outer nature is wasting away. Our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. Because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. In our second scripture reading this morning comes from Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 30. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you do not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called, and those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Chad. And if you'll join me in prayer. Gracious God, we give you thanks for these moments, these opportunities that we get to share. Lord, we bring to you ourselves today, Lord, our broken selves, our complete selves, ourselves that are being renewed every day into the image of Christ. So Lord, we ask that you would meet us in this time, in this place, Lord, that we may respond back to you with hope and obedience. And so Lord, I ask of you that my words may be pleasing to you. And Lord, I pray that our thoughts and our hearts and our meditations may be glorious in your sight. It's in Christ's name we pray, amen. This week, I was reading something from N.T. Wright. N.T. Wright is he's a British theologian. And he wrote something that just kind of, it just kind of blew my mind away. And he said that before the 1950s, there was generations of people that lived without credit cards. And I was like, what? These things have not always existed? I thought they were like from the time of Jesus or something like that. But in fact, it was true. I did a little bit of my own research, and credit cards did not exist till like the 1950s. And it was really interesting. He writes about that, and before that time, banks just wouldn't give out loans easily. If they knew you couldn't afford it, you weren't going to get it. And people really, truly learned and lived within their means. Today, though, we live in a very different world. We have learned, perhaps not in a great way, to live beyond our means. And the whole world, it seems, is kind of set up to support this system of credit and debt. You know, you'll look at nations that can influence great power and control over another nation when they can say, you're under obligation to us, we have your debt. And some of us here, we've been over sideways with debt before. And so you know firsthand kind of the agony and the lack of freedom that comes when you owe someone. Paul begins this passage with that same word. He says, you are in debt. But the debt that he's talking about is very different from that debt that you lose sleep over, that debt that just kind of eats away at your life. He says, the debt that you are under is one of gratitude. You know, John preached last week, therefore there is no charge of being guilty before God. You are declared innocent and you're set free. And it says, because we have been set free, we now enjoy some benefits. First benefit we receive is we're given the Holy Spirit to guide us. The second one is that you become adopted daughters and sons of God. You are truly in a debt of love. You are in a debt of rescued, of being rescued, a debt of something also of a future promise. You know, one of the things that Paul says is because we now live under this obligation, you are now kind of called to not live according to the flesh anymore. And the flesh is those base desires. It's the it's unbridled passion, you might say. It's giving in to whatever kind of floats your boat type of mentality. And Paul says, as I'm sure as you and I both know, when we do that, it normally leads to some sort of death, spiritually, financially, physically. He says, no, we are now called to live in tune with the Spirit. And whatever we reap into that life of the Spirit, Paul says, you will reap life. But there's a purpose behind all this. And Paul says, the purpose is because you, as the daughters and sons of God, are promised something much more glorious and much more amazing than you could ever imagine. And he gives that hint in the power of creation. You know, when my family, we moved to Louisville, Kentucky, I experienced a tornado for the first time in my life. You know, there just aren't any tornadoes in El Salvador. And I just remember the fear of God that was in my life when that tornado, that first few tornadoes we had. You know, you wake up in the middle of the night, the sirens are blaring. I'm crying uncontrollably because I'm pretty sure we're going to die. My aunts and uncles who were in college at that time, I'm sure they're probably just like egging me on, just allowing me to think the worst things possible. And I remember I wanted to peek out the window because there was this interest of seeing, will I see this little vortex going down the driveway? But then also just being scared to death that I just didn't want to die. Now, this is an example of the power of creation, right? This is how creation unleashes its power. But Paul says something really interesting. He says, these exhibits of power are actually the groanings of creation. Creation groans out of frustration. And so it's frustrated that it has all this power that it has to unleash. And so it unleashes it from time to time. Tornadoes, earthquakes, all these things, it's unleashing them, and it's frustrated. Guess who it's frustrated with? With us. Creation says, oh, if only they knew the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives, if only they knew that one day, by the very Spirit given to them, They will harness the power of creation, and they will, alongside their Savior Jesus Christ, they will renew the whole world. And creation, like in pains of labor, groans because the children of God don't quite get it. But there's a reason why we don't get it. And Paul describes this. You know, we live, I think, in a tension. We know that the Spirit works within us, right? But you also know that you're also not fully the person that the Spirit has called you to be. You live in that tension. And Paul says, beyond living in that tension, though, you also have something else that happens in your life that makes you lose even more hope. And that is, you suffer. You have pain. You have trials in your life. You have challenges. And Paul says, because of this, creation continues to groan. Because it's like as the children, the daughters and sons of God, we get stuck in this place of suffering. You know, I think there are two ways that we understand suffering in the Christian life. The first way, I think, that we understand this is we understand suffering as almost being like in a boxing fight. I always think that as people, as believers, we give ourselves too much credit. We think we're pretty smart people. We can outthink my problems. I can outwork my pain. I can outrun my pain. I can not feel my suffering as much. And so as people, we fight. It's like we're in this arena with our opponent, our enemy, whoever that might be. If it's pain, if it's suffering, or if it's just a problem that you cannot solve. And we're in this arena and we're trying to fight it. We're doing the best that we can. But Paul says, my goodness, folks, what happens? You lose. You lose. Because you were not meant. Let me tell you this. You were not created to solve your own problems. You were not created to suffer alone in pain. You weren't created this way. And so when you are in that arena with your suffering, your problems, your pain, you will always go down for the count. There's only one person that I know that didn't win or did win that fight, and his name was Jesus Christ. But we'll get to that next week. So one way we deal with pain is we try to work at it, try to beat it up, but you lose. You're just not meant to deal with your sin. You're not meant to deal with your pain on your own. The second way that we sometimes confront our pain and our suffering is we just get to that point of brokenness and desperation. You know, there is something about being found in defeat where the best advice didn't work, the self-help book didn't work, everything you have tried just did not work. And so we find ourselves in that place of desperation. One of the things that I find so interesting, though, is that Paul says, so what do we do, okay? We suffer, we're in pain, we run into problems that we can't beat. So what do we do? And Paul says this really interesting thing. He says, have you tried prayer before? Now, you're kind of chuckling to yourself, like, ha ha, funny, of course we've tried prayer. Well, I don't know. I'll be honest with you. Prayer is not always the thing that I try. I'm much more like the fighter in the ring. I like to work at it. I like to outrun my pain and my problems. But I get tired. I get desperate. I start reaching for things that are not good for me, vices, addictions, whatever it might be. And before you know it, I'm out for the count. So Paul says, look, folks, pain and suffering, this is the tension you live in. It's part of the frustration you face as a believer. Because what do you do with pain? What do you do with suffering? And so Paul says, we are given the Holy Spirit to be an advocate for us, someone that prays on our behalf. And he says, in the Spirit, we enter it into almost, he says, the Spirit will help us. I'd like to read this. It says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Here it says sighs, but there's groaning. You see, one of the things that Paul also is very interesting about teaching, he's saying, have you tried prayer? He says, but also realize prayer will not sometimes give you the relief or the soothing that you want. Because, and sometimes in prayer, you actually go and you're like, I don't know, it hurts, it's, and Paul says, this is the frustrating part about praying. He says, but miraculously and mysteriously, he says, it's at that very moment when you're sighing and you are at a loss for words. He says that it's at that very moment, mysteriously, I can't explain this to you. He says, but mysteriously, at that very moment, the Holy Spirit intercedes on behalf of the daughters and the sons of God so that they may overcome their trial and their time of suffering. Now, I want to share an aside with you. A lot of times you guys think I'm pretty young, and I take that as a compliment most of the time. But folks, I've experienced pain in my life. I experienced pain that was so painful, I didn't think I'd ever see the light of day again. I've made mistakes. Oof. I've made mistakes that have cost a lot. A lot. I've suffered watching other people make mistakes that I wish they didn't make. I understand this pain. And also know that God called me to preach today because there's some of you here that are in real deep pain today. You've tried everything you can. You tried all that you can. But that pain just won't let up, will it? That suffering just will not let you go. And so one of the things that I am here to encourage you is this. I could tell you about how bad it is, and I could tell you about all that stuff, and that's nothing that you've not known before. But I want to give you something else. You see, one of the things that this verse tells me, it says, but do you have faith? Do you have faith? Do you have faith that what God says is true? You know, in His Word it says, all things work together for the good of those who love Christ Jesus and are called according to His purpose. Do you believe that in your life today? That all things will work for the good? Do you believe that God is even good? Because if God is not good, then folks, what are you doing? You see, this is the challenge of this verse. It's not, oh gosh, how horrible suffering is, but it's, do you have the faith that God, you can trust Him at His word? I don't know what you're going through. I know what I'm going through. And I can tell you this, I struggle with that. I struggle with having faith, but I want to have faith. I don't want to doubt. I know what it's like to know that, to believe and say it out loud, God is good, but do you believe God is good? You see, that is the question that is asked in this verse. Do you actually believe that God will actually work for the good in your life? And that God is actually good towards you. So this is what I'm inviting you to pray. If you'll close your eyes. The prayer for today is, Lord, give me faith. Give me faith to believe you, that your words are true. Give me faith to believe that you're good. And so, Lord, we just ask you right now, wherever we might be in our lives, I know that for some of us today, Lord, their pain, their suffering, it's been hidden for so long. And Lord, today is a day where it's got to come out, Lord. And so, Lord, I pray that you meet all of us today. Give us faith, God. Give us faith. Speak, we pray.